and the blood of Christ my Savior. There is victory. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and there is victory in the blood of Christ my Savior. Amen. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. We greet everyone in the name of the Lord tonight. I meant a message Brother John asked you Sunday morning, all right, brother, to preach. God bless. Praise the Lord. I meant a message today. I've been rushing all day, late here tonight. Usually when I'm late, Mark's early, but we're both late tonight. That's why the gate was locked. But we got in. Amen. We got in. God bless you all, and appreciate the prayers and the singing and everything tonight. And tonight I just want to talk for a few moments on proclaiming the word. Now, we've already been doing it. With Brother Gary picked these songs and we sing it, we've been proclaiming it, that the death angel has to pass. We've already proclaimed it. So whoever we're praying for already tonight, we need to believe already. Now, we've proclaimed it in song. Because of the blood, the death angel has to pass. And then we'll proclaim victory through the blood. We've already proclaimed it. And I want to talk about proclaiming the night. And I had a real something happen in Malawi some time ago. I can't even remember when it was. I'm a new cover in this machine tonight. And it's a wee bit awkwarder, but we'll get there. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 and verse 10 and 11, just for scripture reading tonight. And the Lord bless each and every one. And so good that Brother Brian's well and he's preaching again and everything. And I want to try and see. I don't want to contact him too soon and say, Brother, when he's coming, but I want him to come over when he can. Praise God. Verse 10 and 11 of Isaiah 55, and we do appreciate the prayers for Simon's wee daughter the other night, that everything went well as well. Praise God. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, and it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. So when it goes forth, it cannot return void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I send it. Let's bow our heads again tonight. We're going to pray again. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening that we can come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we're glad for the words we've been singing tonight. The death angel can do me no harm because of the token, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we plead the merits of that blood tonight afresh in our lives and over this house. And all that's been prayed for and all that's near and dear to us, we plead your blood tonight. Lord, I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. We come against every work of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, for Eileen, for Andrea, for Simon's daughter, for Brother Brian, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, may they know the touch of God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. You were wounded for our transgressions, and by your wounds, your stripes, we were healed. Lord, we believe your word tonight. Bless us now. Bless your word to our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe this is a tremendous... there's tremendous power released, let me say it like that. As we proclaim the word of God, there is power released. If we believe it and we proclaim it, there is power released. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. There was power released because of the word of God. Whether it's for personal need or whether it's some other type of need. And you know there's different types of need. But we need to proclaim the word of God in every single situation. We need to proclaim God's word when we pray. We need to sing the word. There's a lot of modern songs today and they're not worth the paper they're written on. It's all about I and me and you. We don't need to be singing about I, me, and you. We need to sing about a man called Jesus. We need to sing about the power of the blood. And we're doing it. We are doing it here. I'm just saying and encouraging you to keep on doing it. As Brother Gary sings these songs, he's proclaiming in song the word of God, the victory of the blood. Now you could go back into Exodus and you could read all about Moses and the deliverance and everything God did. And what did God tell them? Tell your children and your children's children the things God's done. And remember these things. And that's why they had the Passovers. They had to remember what the Lord had done. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. Oh, but we want something new. No. The Bible says return to the old paths, to the old ways. And I tell you, it's the same in everything, whether it's a book for studying or reading, the old ones are the best. Most of the new ones are not worth the paper they're written on, to be honest with you. There's nothing in them. Because half the people that's writing them weren't called or inspired. But we need to proclaim the word of God. Proclaim it in every situation. And when we proclaim the word of God in every situation, speak it, say it. It can change everything. It can transform everything. We need to proclaim the word by faith. And we need to start every service by making a proclamation. Amen? And I believe it will make a difference in the meeting. If we come in and we say, oh, God will do nothing today, and with that type of an attitude, and we're critics, nothing's going to happen. But if we start to say, for two or three of us is gathered in his name, the Lord is in the midst. And the Lord is in the midst to bless us. And we've come tonight to be blessed. Because the Lord says he's in the midst to bless us. Amen. We need to proclaim it. Amen. I tell you, I was listening the glory singing tonight. I listened a lot lately. David Willows. Who's ever heard of David Willows? Well, you want to go on YouTube and listen to David Willows. And you'll get something. I'll tell you that. See, the modern stuff, I wouldn't even waste my time to listen to it, for it's most of it's pure rubbish. But I'll tell you that, David Willows, and there's one song he's singing tonight, I've got the glory. He was singing, he'd got it. And I know I've got it. And I tell you, that's the way we want to start working. That we know we have it. How do you know you're saved? You know it. Well, you're there when it happened. And you know you're saved. And then you need to sing it, and you need to believe it, and you need to know you're healed, and you need to sing it, and you need to believe it. And proclaim it. Hallelujah. The word proclaim is a strong word that comes from the Latin word, which means to shout forth. I tell you, some people today don't like loud preachers. But I don't know what they're going to do with the disciples when they get to heaven. Because the Bible called them the sons of thunder. Now, they weren't called the sons of thunder because you couldn't hear them under a wet newspaper. They were called the sons of thunder because they were the sons of thunder. They had someone with a voice. And God's given every one of us a voice. And I tell you, the world uses its voice with their filthy jokes and their filthy talk. And we're too often too backward to proclaim the word of God. A related word in the New Testament to shout forth is to confess. Confess means to say the same thing. That means we must believe what the Bible says and we must say what the Bible says. The psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God wants us to say so. God wants us to say so when we read Mark 16. When we lay hands on the sick, they're recovered. He wants us to say so. He wants us to say so when we go to Romans 10 and 9. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we shall be saved. He wants us to say so. He wants us to say from Isaiah, from the further even back and then up into the New Testament, from 1 Peter 2:24, that we're healed by his wounds, his stripes, I'm healed. It's already been done. He wants us to say so. Now, maybe your brother Matthew will put this picture up. And this was a last minute thing. This is probably why I'm late. But anyhow, it's not important. You see, moss. Now, when I was in Malawi some time ago, I want you to get a good look at that. That's not an ordinary wee building. That's a tower, if you like. And when I was in Malawi some years ago, when preaching for Brother Dixon around many different churches, we had many different meetings, and they put me up in this hotel right in the town, and unknown to me, beside it was one of these moss, these tires. And boy, here early in the morning, Tom was fast asleep, but he was suddenly awakened with some fella shouting and singing over big microphones. And they had these microphones on one of these buildings, these mosques. And I'll tell you what the Muslims do now. They do it 5 times a day. 5 times a day, and they don't have just anybody to do it. They get several boys and they get them to do it, and they pick what they think has the one that has the best sounding voice. Now, think of that thought for a minute. Did you ever hear somebody singing and it catches you? How many knows what I'm talking about? Their voice, there's something about the voice. That's the same with preaching, it's the voice. There's something about the voice. And I'll tell you, they get the boy with a nice or the good voice, whatever way you want to put it. And he is like a herald. And he shouts out over this thing and he's calling them all to prayer. This could be, now I'm not kidding you, this could be before 5 o'clock in the morning. He's on it. And I thought to myself, boy, that boy there's going to waken me up. So I would get up when I hear it in the morning and I'd get down on my knees and start praying and start seeking the Lord. And every morning he wakened me, I'd be praying against him. He didn't know that. But I'd be praying anyhow and praying that God would move. But yet with all, I want you to see this. Malawi was in a real move of God. Dixon Gandozi had by himself seen hundreds of churches started and formed with hundreds of people in them. They were in a move of God. They'd seen the dead raised, they'd seen the miracle, but yet that old serpent's religion had crept in. And there they had their mosque. And I'm calling it that. And don't you worry one thing about it. That's just at the pick. It's not from God. You see, the man we're serving's risen from the dead. The man there serving's in a tomb somewhere, and he's not risen. And when he does rise, he'll be rising to judgment, and it's only God will raise him. But our Savior's risen, and he's alive. And I tell you, these boys waking me several times a day, shouting and roaring over this thing. And we're living in a country now, and you think England's almost overtaken with Muslims. And if you go on the street, you see, half the Christians have it all wrong. I'm telling you, lads. This is the truth that I'm going to tell you. You see these wee twiddly things, wee tiny speakers? Don't waste your time with them. Get yourself something substantial. This is how the world works. The world works with substantial stuff. That it will blast out. If you're going to get arrested in the right room. Don't get half arrested. I'll tell you, when Bunky preached in America and Africa and them places, the speaker systems he had could be heard for miles. People heard it for miles as he preached. And I know a man was saved in a jail several miles away. God saved him in a jail cell. And he became a mighty man of God and a pastor of a big church. Because he heard the word of God proclaimed. And we need to proclaim the word of God. But I'm just telling you a point. They're not afraid to have their speaker systems up. And this system they had in Malawi, you could hear this thing for miles away. And there wasn't a word about it. And there'll not be a word about it over in England either. But if you were down the street where we handheld one, the next thing that have you arrested, you're disturbing peace. Is that the truth? That's the age we're living in. The enemy wants to silence the truth. But we need to take on a spirit of boldness. And we need to not be afraid to proclaim the word of God, no matter what comes. Because we're getting out of here anyway. Don't worry about anything else. Go forward. Like the Irish, they say, jump and look later. Go at it. Don't worry about the consequences. Sell out all for God. Hebrews 3 and 1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, which is the same as confession, Jesus Christ. So when we confess him as our Savior, we are saved. We are to confess. We are to proclaim. We are to proclaim. Now, what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, if you will confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Isn't that what he said? We're to proclaim his name. There's no other name like his name. So when we say with our mouths what the Bible says about us as believers in Christ, then we have Jesus Christ, our high priest in heaven, releasing the authority and the blessing over our confession. So when we confess in faith, I'm prayed for and I'm healed, we have a high priest that says, he's healed. He releases the power, the victory for us. But we have to believe it and proclaim it. Amen. You see, we can't be silent. We cannot continue in silence. You know, we can't cut ourselves off. This high priest, when we confess it, he makes it good. We don't make it good. He makes it good. And we cannot or should not make wrong confessions. We shouldn't make wrong confessions. I prayed for a fellow, and this fellow's not serving the Lord. And I'm going to mention no names. But I was away on a job, and there's lots of people. When they all cleared, I laid hands on him, and I prayed for him. I felt nothing. He felt nothing. It looked like nothing happened, but he's well. And that's only a few weeks ago. Now all the glory will be going to the doctor, whatever pills he was using. But the Lord, I believe the Holy Spirit prompted me today. Because I was working with this fellow. And he said to me, someone said to me, look at him. Have a look at him. How good he is. Because the devil had been telling me nothing happened. When you pray, you see nothing happen. He looked worse the next day, and he did. But he doesn't look worse today. He looks real well today. And he's skipping about, and he's jumping about, and he looks real good. Because prayer works. Prayer works. But the devil wants to tell you after you pray, nothing happened, sister or brother. You see, there was no change. Nothing happened. When he tells you that, that's the very thing you need to believe. Woman came before William Branham and he prayed for her. And he said, now just a moment before you go, he says, you're going to feel really sick in so many hours' time. You will feel really worse than ever. That's a sign that that thing's died in you and it has to leave. Don't let your faith go down. Keep believing. And God will bring you right through. And I'll tell you, it's almost darkest before the dawn, isn't it? But you see, we put so much on our feelings. Well, I'll tell you what, I felt tired this morning at 5:30, and I was tired. But I threw the two legs on out of bed and got out and went on anyhow. And I tell you, when the flesh tells you, boys, you're too tired, you could pray later. If you're feeling to pray or move to pray, pray then and there. And if you're going to be late, going somewhere, be late, but pray. Because you'd be better praying than worrying about being late. That's the truth. Amen. We're to proclaim it. It is a word that speaks of spiritual warfare. Amen. A proclamation is a confession that is made with aggressively. Aggressive proclamation. It speaks of warfare. It's releasing the authority of God, the word, and the situation in your own life, in your family's life, into the church life. The proclamation. Believing it, proclaiming. It's really an activity of a herald. Now, you wouldn't hear much of that today, but there used to be what you called heralds. Heralds are the word we don't use much today, but in medieval times, a herald was a person, you know, which was given authority by the king or with a duke or some noble person who would go out in a public place and make a proclamation and will a decision or a ruler, he would give it out, he'd shout it out, he'd proclaim it. That's exactly what them Muslims are doing over them speakers. They are making a proclamation for their religion.
Though it's false and though it's fake, they're doing it 5 times a day in all these mosques around the country, around the world, and they're speaking it out. And the word spoken out, it makes things happen. And the Christians are sitting back, and they can't come to a prayer meeting, and then they can't pray when they do come. They're afraid. But I tell you, God wants you to loose, and he wants the fear to go. God hasn't given the spirit of fear, but of love and of truth and of a sound mind. We need to proclaim the Lord and proclaim the name of Jesus. Boy, I was blessed the other week. I told you, there's a whole bunch of them over in Texas there, and they're all the microphones set up on them doodahs in their heads and whatever that on them. False religion. And some woman just slipped up out of the crowd, and she got a hold of the microphone, and she says, I want to proclaim Jesus Christ that he's Lord in Texas. And I tell you, the devil on her, but you got it out anyhow. Took guts to do it, didn't it? May the Lord bless her. I don't know her, who she is, but may God bless her. Amen. We need to proclaim the word of the Lord. You thought you'd never see the day when Christian preaching and stuff would be stopped and Muslims and stuff promoted, but it's happening. Happening all around us. And we need to proclaim the Lord. Amen. You see, the say would go out and shout, Ozzy, Ozzy. They had a thing that they would do, they'd go out and shout and then make the proclamation so we'd have something to draw their attention, like W.P. Nicholson, that's it, brother. I tell you, he was in a wee town and they're all sleeping. Sleeping. They fell fast over. And he thought, what can I do to waken them up a bit? And in them days, when there's a fire, you rung the bell. And the bell got them all out of the cots. And I tell you, he was down there ringing the bell. And he got them all up. And then he called the meeting and he proclaimed the word of God. And people could see him. I tell you, isn't it great? Isn't it the truth? We need to be proclaimers. Oh, but I'm not called to preach, but you're called to pray. You're called to pray and you can still proclaim and witness for the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, you don't have to go too far when you bump into people and lump along to you to hear the profanities coming out their mouths. And we need to speak as the oracles of God. We need to have stuff coming out our mouths, but stuff that will praise the Lord and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, in the New Testament, it comes out a little different because the word preach is the word used for herald. And a preacher's a herald. Amen. And I tell you, when these heralds went out, you could hear them. I tell you, you know, sometimes when somebody gets up and prays in one of the meetings here, and they could be loud, and they maybe quote a scripture, you could feel the presence of God. It's because God is honoring his word. Because it's been proclaimed. And something's happened in the heavens. Like Brother John often says, when you shout hallelujah, the angels go through the heavens. The word hallelujah. And I tell you, think of that word, Jesus. Just the mention of his name. The flowers grow, the desert blooms again. Just at the mention of his name. There's power in no other name like the name of Jesus Christ. It's the most powerful name. Hallelujah. In my name, ye shall cast out devils. In my name, you will speak with new tongues. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick and recover. What about the book of James? If they've committed sins, the Bible says they'll be forgiven. And the prayer of faith will raise them up, and the Lord will heal them, because hands is laid on and oil anointed in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be backward as Christians. We should be forward marching, proclaiming the word of God. We must have a ministry of proclamation. I believe one of the greatest places to do it, and I've only had a few chances, is a radio station. A radio is a great place to make a proclamation, because you know in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. I tell you, when I was in Malawi, another part of Africa, I can't even remember the name now. But anyway, that's not important. But I was over there anyhow, and the fella said, there's a chance to get on the radio. And I said, well, let's go down and get it booked. And it goes out to thousands and thousands of people in Africa. And we get on the radio to preach the gospel. And you only get so long of a time. But the fellow that runs the radio, he says, I'm going to give you double the time. And he says, tomorrow, if you're still here, you have the slot again free to preach the gospel. I tell you, you wouldn't get that over in England. Sure you wouldn't. They'd give you a ticket. They'd jail you. They'd rather give it to a Muslim. That's the way things just went. But it used to be called Great Britain. Great Britain. And I tell you, you think of how God's been moving in Africa. And there's Africans coming to England now and they're having big churches in England. And it used to be the white man going out to Africa to preach. Now the Africans is coming to England and they're big meetings. And I know of some of them, with thousands in them. And I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people skeptical. How are they all getting saved? Are they really saved? Can you just see him? Can you just see him? That boy there, see a boy like that? He's full of blowers with cane. A boy like that. His father's a devil. I tell you, when Reinhard Bonnke done the meetings and the people came and got saved, wouldn't you, some boy, how could they really saved? I might meet a man one day and he'd been out there as well and he was of a certain, I won't mention who they were. And they don't believe in any gifts or anything like that. You'd be threw out if you mentioned them. The boys, I'm going to tell you. And how do you know they were saved? And how do you know they were this? And how do you know they were that? How do you know? That's God's business, how you know. You're just to preach it and proclaim it. And if a man or woman comes and confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, no man can say it but by the Holy Ghost, my Bible says. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But with too many going about it, how do you know? How do you know? The skeptical. This gospel is preached in all the kingdom, in all the world. Then the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. You look at the rod of Moses. Look at the example of Moses when God called him to go back to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And you remember how God supernaturally appeared to him in Exodus 4. And God appeared to him supernaturally in the burning bush. Now I'll tell you what, William Branham said this. Now think of this, this was a powerful statement. He said, just imagine Moses had got one of them leaps of that bush that was burning and run down to some laboratory to see how it all worked. He says, God would never send him. But he didn't do that. I don't believe he could have took the leap after to start with my own side, because that was fire. And I can't explain it all myself, but I know it was supernatural. And I'll tell you one thing, the first thing God said to him, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. You're in the presence of Almighty. And they didn't even know him by name. They knew of him, but they didn't know him by name. And when Moses said, who sent me? He says, I am. I'm sending you down. And I tell you, despite what God said to Moses, Moses thought he wasn't able to do the commission. You see, he had 40 years he was. 40 years learning all the ways of the Egyptians. 40 years. Then he was 40 years on the backside of the desert learning how to work with sheep and all them things and the staff of his hand rescuing sheep and working with sheep. But after he met the pillar of fire, he was the next 40 years knowing that God was everybody. 40 years. And I tell you, you're not too old tonight, and you're not too young tonight. God picks and uses whom he will. Let's read this, Exodus 4, and I'm not going to be much longer because I want us time to pray. Exodus chapter 4, verse 2 to 4. And I hope you've been encouraged tonight, and I encourage you to proclaim the word of God. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it in the ground, and he cast it in the ground, and became a serpent, and Moses fled before it. Now, when you see something real strange, what God tells him to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. The very thing you never do with a snake. You never lift a snake by the tail, or you're sure to get bit. You need to get it for the head or the neck. And there's our Philip keeps ferrets. Now, he'll tell you what, you go in and lift the ferret to the field, see what happens to you. I'll guarantee you'll not belong to you, let him go. You get him by the neck. But God tell him by the tail. Because this is not a normal situation. This is a supernatural divine act of God. And when God tells you to do something, listen to me this evening. God can tell you to do something that is totally against your own thinking. There's one there. There's no way you would be taught to lift us. Remember, Moses is a man out for 40 years here in the wilderness, and 40 years before the Egyptians, a man of war. And Moses knows these things. And God says, lift up the tail. But he obeys God. He obeys God. And when God speaks to us, we know it's God. And he knew it was God because he's in the presence of God. He obeyed it. He obeyed what God told him. Took a bit of teal and he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became as a rod in his hand. That is the supernatural power of God. Now, you know that's what I've told you is the truth, isn't it? And God went on to show Moses how to use the rod as an instrument of divine authority. And with that rod, Moses defeated the magicians of Egypt, stripped Pharaoh of his power, humiliated their gods, and brought Israel out from slavery. Now, let's get this right. He didn't just bring them out, but he brought them out rich. Because they borrowed all the gold and silver of their neighbor. He brought them out rich under the blessing. Amen? And not only did he bring them out rich and under the blessing, my Bible says there wasn't one sick person amongst them. Not a feeble one amongst them. And they even carried Joseph's bones about, as was promised and asked. Supernatural God. You see, we can take the rod. And the rod we're to take is the Word of God. We're to take the Word of God as a rod and defeat the enemy. And just as Moses took the rod, and he used the rod, and he defeated Pharaoh, and he defeated everything about him, even in the Red Sea, he had the rod. And there they were murmuring and complaining, and he brought us out here to die and all sorts of stuff. And Moses called on the Lord to see parted. And they went over on dry ground. Laurie preached on it Sunday, didn't he, about Elijah and Elisha crossing on the dry ground. And I tell you, the children of Israel, it wasn't just two people. The whole multitude went over in dry ground. You think of many of them was. But they went over in dry ground. I'm going to tell you something. Don't think for a minute that they went over that in 5 minutes. I'll guarantee a couple of hours is that many. That was a long journey over that. It wasn't just 5 minutes. God did that miracle and kept that water where it was and kept it dry for a long time. And when you read about the horses and chariots coming after them, people think, well, they let them out in 10 minutes later. No. It's a long time they've went. Then he changes mind, he chases them, and it takes time for them to catch up with them. And you know the result? God closed that water on the horses and the chariots right there. And you know there's a man found them wheels. They've been found. Proof where they crossed and everything. That's not important, but it's an evidence, you could say, but it's the supernatural power of God. And God wants us, and I'm closing tonight, God wants us to take the rod that he's given us, the Word of God. He wants us to take the rod of the Word of God, and he wants us to use it. Use it. Stretch it over your children. Stretch it over your loved ones. It's not safe. Stretch the rod of the Word of God over them. Proclaim them. Claim them for God. Quote the Word of God in prayer. Now here's another thing. I'm closing. We need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will inspire us to say the right scriptures, to quote the right scriptures. And then we need to, here's another thing, what we need to do more. Now, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm felt to bring this tonight.
We need to start saying it out, speaking it out. See, when we read your Bible, have a time where you read it out loud.
Read it out loud.
If you're someone at home and there's a problem, read the Word of God out loud. Don't worry about somebody else doesn't believe it. Let them pay no attention to you, because they believe Carnation Street or some other nonsense. Or someone that the Word is doing. And they won't be feared for you to hear that. So we need to proclaim the Word of God out loud. We need to say it.
I tell you, I had a friend years ago, me and him used to practice. We used to practice reading the Bible out, reading it out loud.
We'd go and get a feed somewhere. We'd read it out loud.
You know, when we had the meetings at the wee schoolhouse out in the country there over the hill, and you might have thought, well, nobody ever came, not much happened. There's a man standing one day, and he said, I used to come out into the fields at night and hear the preaching. And that leads to the house.
And you don't know who hears it. And when we did the open air from Brother Bobby's yard, and we had the speakers and everything going, there's a wee man that teaches pigeons. He's a friend of mine. And he says, well, that was a good service you had on Sunday. And I said,
sure, how would you know? And he says, I sat on the steps of the pigeon shed, which was just over the hills there. And I listened to the whole service. God's word proclaimed. Oh, but nothing happened. How do you know? You don't want to talk like that. Nothing happened. You want to read what we read at the start of Isaiah 55. God's word in that return void. So something did happen. Something did happen. Amen. When you first heard the word of God, didn't something happen?
What happened? Seed was sown. A seed was sown, and then in a later state, it was watered. And then, by and by, it became the fruition, and something happened.
But the seed was sown somewhere. And the seed will bring forth after its own kind. And when you sow the Word of God, it will produce what it is. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. The God bless you. You're listening well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight that your word will not return void. Help us, Lord, in this evil age we're living in. We know tonight the world's surely in birth pains. Let the catching aways at hand. Lord, I pray you'll help us to proclaim your word as heralds to go forth and to proclaim the word of God. Help us to be bold. Give us boldness in this hour. Help us, Lord, as we worship, to proclaim your word, to pronounce your word, to speak your word, and to believe it. As your servant Paul said, speak those things into being that are not as though they were. Lord, we know that we have a high priest seated at the right hand of the Majesty on High, who ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Lord, you're the one that makes it good. We worship you tonight. We love you tonight with all of our hearts because you first loved us. Help us, Lord, to walk with you, to talk with you. Let us be like Enoch of old, that we will walk with the Lord. And them are going to be taken. Father, bless everyone in this room. Lord, for those that's on our hearts strong tonight, think especially of the backsliders. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit will work on them, move upon them, strive with them. For your word says you're forever married to the backslider. Lord, we claim our children, every one of them, every son, every daughter, every husband, every wife, we claim them. We plead the blood of Christ over them, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will go to working upon them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth in Jesus' precious name. Bless again, Lord. We think of any that's not here tonight, Brother Laurie. Any of the sisters had to work. We do pray for all the nurses, all the doctors. Lord, you bless them, strengthen them. Pray again for your own people, Israel. Bless them, prosper them. And help us here. And for Sunday morning, bless our brother John, Lord. Give them the words to speak. And the evening service as well, Lord Jesus. Father, we just have committed all to you, that you will have your way. And Lord, maybe someone here tonight with unspoken requests and desire upon their heart, Lord, I pray you'll meet every need. In the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as we continue to seek the Lord tonight.